Bibles and turn over to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 is where we'll start. Luke chapter 17. And I got to preach at two very good churches. And a lot of liberty. If you've ever preached anywhere, sometimes there's liberty and sometimes it doesn't feel like there is. And so it is nice, although not like home, it is nice to have the liberty, and I was able to preach. Hopefully, thank you for praying, by the way. I think I may have been a help in both of those situations. So Pray for some lasting results. We did have one lady saved in New Hampshire, if you didn't hear that. I think she was 52 years old and had been coming for a few weeks. And praise the Lord, she trusted Christ as her Savior on Sunday. I think that was Sunday morning and in New Hampshire. And so started the trip off real well. Amen. Chapter 17, and we'll just read verse number 3, I think you ought to get a little context. Verse number 3, Jesus, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And so I'm going to stop right there. We're coming up next week, starts the Faith Promise Missions Conference. Oftentimes we talk about the idea of what it is, and I'm not really going to cover much on that idea. Faith Promise, if you don't know what it is, please ask. I will gladly explain that to you. But oftentimes we talk about the promise of faith and how you should give and how you should figure out how to give and all those things. This morning, though, I want to preach just for a while, a long while maybe. We'll see. See how long we go on growing your daily faith, our daily faith. So when you get in the Bible, you see the word faith. Oftentimes, you find that faith can mean several things. We just sang about trusting God. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you. That's delivering faith. That's salvation. That's what we get when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you're in here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know 100% sure that you're going to heaven. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He paid the debt of everything you've ever done wrong, everything you'll ever do wrong. He paid for that already at Calvary when He gave His life a ransom for many. And the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation's a gift. It's a gift from God. That gift is Jesus Christ Himself, the payment for all of our sins. And He gives us that gift of eternal life. And if you would accept that by faith, you didn't see Jesus die. You didn't see Him rise again. You have plenty of witnesses to those events. You have a book that tells you all about it and all the happenings. And you can believe it and you can trust it. And if you have a problem believing the Bible, I don't know how to help you with that too badly. Outside of the fact that you can go through and read the entirety of every time that it's right in history on every prophecy it's ever made. So, I mean, I don't know if that's sure enough for anybody. But the Bible is very plain that it is the truth, and you can trust it, and I trust that you do. And I hope that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You put your faith and trust in Him. And if you haven't, we'll take time at the end of the service. We'll have an invitation, and I'm not going to be preaching on it. But if you would like to come and find out more about that salvation, that wonderful gift that God gave, then you can come, and we'll gladly open a Bible. We'll answer whatever questions you may have. And we'll go ahead and show you from the Bible how you can know your sins are forgiven forever and heaven is yours forever. And God, by faith, God will deliver you from your sins and save you from all of eternity, from a lake of fire. And it's a wonderful salvation. Then you find in the Bible, it calls the faith. There's some things about the faith. Paul makes the statement right at the end of his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He makes that statement, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, that's not saving faith. We don't keep our salvation by ourselves. Salvation, right, that's the gift. It's been given to us. So there's nothing we can do to keep it and nothing we can do to lose it. God guaranteed it. So because God's promise, we don't have to worry about keeping it. Well, what did he keep? Well, he kept the doctrine that we believe. The faith is a reference to the teachings, the doctrinal faith that you and I hold. The fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The fact that God is made up of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The fact that the devil is real and he's the enemy of everything that God holds dear. The fact that one day Jesus Christ is going to come back and get us off of this wretched earth and take us home. And we're hoping that's really soon. And I think Tuesday's results will dictate how quickly that happens. But anyways, I won't tell you which way it needs to go for us to stay longer and which way it would go if... Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. Don't do it. I'm not supposed to anyways. And then the last thing is daily faith. Daily faith, how we live day to day. It's practical. It's what we do and how we operate day to day. Many times Christians are good with the first two. They're perfectly fine knowing that Jesus Christ saved them and they have all the faith that they're going to heaven and they have no problems with that. Oftentimes they get a Bible and they get talking and they get learning and they start growing and they start learning the truths of the Bible. They learn what God said about this and what he said about that and all these facts and figures and all the, and they're good at putting all those knowledge pieces in order. But what we fail to do is have daily faith and trust in God. We aren't really good at that. And when we talk about faith promise, especially, I'm kind of going to point it toward that as an example. It'll be kind of the primary example. As we come together and as we get ready for our Faith Promise Missions Conference, our goal is to, by faith, there it is, by faith, decide, God, this is what you're telling me so that I can implement that as what I'm going to do. Now, whether that number goes up, whether it goes down, whatever it is, it's what God told you to do. That's the faith part. Because you and I have no idea how things are going to go on Tuesday. You and I have no idea what's going to happen after Tuesday. You and I have no clue what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes, let alone what's going to happen a year from now. So what do you got to do? Well, you could go by your logic, which is faulty. Right? We'll look at that in a minute. Our logic is faulty, or you could go by the wisdom God gives you and the light he gives you on what he tells you to do. And this morning, I want to just show a little bit about this faith and how we can grow our daily faith. The prayer here from the apostles is increase our faith. Well, that means we can grow. And they aren't talking about increase my salvation. How do you get more saved, right? You can't get any more saved than you are. Unless you're lost, you can't get more saved. Because you're either saved or you're lost. That's all it is. Well, increase our knowledge. That's not really what they're talking about. They're talking about increasing their daily trust in God. The situation he's dealing with is, hey, if somebody trespasses against you and they keep failing you over and over again and they keep coming back going, I'm sorry, and you're like, I'm not even sure this guy means it anymore, right? He says, forgive them. And they go, man, we need more faith. That's daily. That's the walk with God. That's the time where I got to, well, God said it, I got to trust that he's right, that I got to forgive this guy even when I don't want to. My logic dictates I don't forgive. My logic dictates if you do that to me 7 times in the same day, I'm hitting you with a baseball bat, right? That's get away from me, right? I don't know what anybody did. Kent, did you do something to Pastor? He was awful riled up in Sunday school. I just didn't know if maybe you did something this morning and he hadn't forgiven you or something. Pastor, increase your faith, all right? Forgive them. He got up here and in Sunday school, you missed it, he said, suck it up, buttercup, and then asked everybody to amen him. He goes, suck it up, buttercup. Amen? And I'm like, who amens that? I hope nobody amened that. What was that? So he's a little fired up this morning. So if you missed Sunday school, he's fired up. You should go listen to it. It was good. I like it when he's excited, you know. But so what's the? We need to increase our faith. It's my faith I'm worried about. Can I trust God when He speaks? That's faith. Amen. We'll see that throughout this here this morning. Paul makes the statement in Galatians 2:20. You all probably have it memorized, virtually everyone in here, that we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We're supposed to live by that faith. That's the daily faith. We're supposed to trust Him. We're supposed to walk with Him. We're supposed to know Him. We're supposed to know what He wants. We're supposed to understand those things. And so this morning we're going to look at growing your daily faith. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into the Word of God today. Father, I thank You once again for Your mercies upon us, Your grace this morning, the fact that we can come and freely meet. Father, many Christians around the world today aren't freely meeting. They're hiding and they're doing it in secret so that they can go ahead and worship and praise God together. Father, I thank You for the freedoms we have. I pray that Tuesday does not change that. We'd be able to continue to freely meet peacefully, Lord, and be able to praise and worship God the way we ought to. Lord, I pray You would bless our services today. I pray You'd help us, Lord, to maybe see some things or help us to know some things. And Father, I pray everybody's prayer in here this morning would be, Father, increase my faith. Help me, Lord, to be able to convey what You say in the Word of God clearly and understandably. Father, I pray if someone here does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them and they'd call upon You. Lord, I pray You'd just give them the clarity of thought and mind to see, the vision to see that they need You as their Savior. Lord, we love You and we pray You would bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first thing I want you to note is where does our faith come from? What's the source of our faith? The source of faith starts, of course, in Galatians chapter 5. If I turn to all these passages, we'll be here all morning. So I'm going to quote some. If you want to write them down, you can, right? Galatians chapter 5 is the first place we gain our, ultimately really gain our faith from. And that's Galatians 5, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When we got saved, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells you. Right? We understand that. If you don't understand that, feel free to talk to Pastor Lego afterwards. He'll get you all the verses. And so what you got to do is, I started it already. Amen. And so what you got to do is you understand when that comes in, we now automatically have access to increasing our faith. Amen. The Spirit's leading, the Spirit's guiding, it's directing, it's working, it's speaking to our heart. It is already working and communicating with us that we ought to be able to believe what God tells us. So when that Spirit comes in, the Holy Spirit begins a work that you and I would otherwise be unable to accomplish. A lost world, someone who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they do not have the Holy Spirit, and thus He cannot lead and guide them into all truth. He cannot help them understand that they need to believe God from the inside out. Now He's got an outside source of the Holy Ghost, but He does not have the internal source that you and I do. That's how Paul can say, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is working inside of him, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's the idea. And so the Spirit comes in. Look over at Romans chapter 10. You know the spot we're going. Romans chapter 10. So the Holy Spirit comes in so He can lead and guide you into all truth. You get that in the book of John. And when you get to Romans chapter 10... salvation comes, right? Romans chapter 10, you've got all the verses, right? Verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You get down to verse number 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right, we understand, I think most people understand, this isn't anything crazy, that the reason we have faith, the reason we can increase our faith, the reason we can trust God is because God wrote it down in a book and gave it to us. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got saved because you kept hearing about Jesus Christ. You got saved because somebody gave you a gospel tract and you were reading about Jesus Christ. You got over and over and over and over, happened to every one of us. We heard it not the first time. Most people never hear it the first time and have it, oh, yeah, of course, I need to do that. Most of the time we hear bits and pieces. We hear moments about how we're a sinner, how we don't deserve heaven, how we're not good enough, how we're not righteous enough, how God needed to send Jesus, how Jesus died for our sins, how he gave his life, how he rose again. We get these pieces, and then finally we get somebody who puts them all together for us, shows us the picture, and we go, oh, got it. Faith, and it was never the first. It was over and over and over and over and over. Many of us heard it. I was 7 years old, but I heard it my whole life. Over and over and over we heard it. Over and over we hear the gospel preached. Over and over we hear, and all of a sudden it finally comes together and we go, oh, I needed that. Now after salvation, we give out Bible reading calendars and we give out all sorts of things so that people will be in the Word of God, the Bible, so that they'll turn the pages and they'll read it, because ultimately what increases our faith is reading what God said and applying what God said. You don't know what God wants you to do. You don't know the way He wants you to do things. You don't understand what He is or who He is or how He is without the Word of God. It's impossible to grow your faith without a Bible. It's virtually impossible to grow your faith if you do not spend time in this book. It's that simple. Well, this is complicated. No, it's not complicated. You read it and you read it, and you know what you find? We'll get to it in a minute, but you will find a great showing of faith throughout the Scriptures. Men who were willing, women who were willing to listen to what God said, do what God said, trust what God said, and it all worked the way God said. There is nothing more confident building, no more faith building than looking at the pages of a Bible and go, well, if God can do that, why can't He do that again? That's why faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If God can take Paul, who was Saul at the time in Acts chapter 9, and convert him from being someone who persecuted the church, murdered Christians, took him and put him in prison, did all these terrible, awful things, consented to the stoning of Stephen, goes at all the pieces that are there, he persecutes the church. If he can take him and save him and forgive him for all of eternity, well, why couldn't he do that for me? That's the truth of the Scriptures. The truth of the Scriptures is if you'd be willing to listen to what God says, God would be willing to do what He said He would do. Amen. Well, why isn't God doing? Because probably you're not. You didn't do it the way He said. You didn't do it how He said. You didn't do it when He said. You just keep doing whatever you want. Well, that's not walking by faith. That's not daily faith. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Say, where is my faith supposed to be? It is not supposed to be in my pastor said. I'm not that smart. Pastor Legault is highly intelligent. He's still not that smart. Doesn't make a difference. Pastor Thomas, Brother James, grab whoever you want to. None of us are that bright. We're not that brilliant. You go with our wisdom, you know what you'll end up with? Just the same mess you'd have if you went with yours. You say, what do I need? I need the wisdom of God. And it's the power of God that shows up because of the wisdom of God. Choosing to trust God's choice and God's wisdom and God's answers makes it so that you and I have God's power active in our lives. We can see the perfect example, Romans chapter 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, verse 16. Why am I not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Faith. It becomes powerful when you believe what God says and trust what God says to do what God says. That's when you gain the power of God in it. The word of God is powerful. Where the word of a king is, there is power. It is a powerful book. Why don't I gain the power that I could have? Because you don't do what he said. That's complicated. No, it's not. That's not complicated. You keep trusting you. You walk by sight and not by faith. We do all these things. I heard one time, I think it was Brother Gibbs, Christian Law Association. He said, you know, most people, the lost man, you know how he makes all of his decisions? He makes all of his decisions by looking at the situation, putting them on the scale. And the pros and the cons show up. And he figures out based upon what pros and what cons are there on what decision he's going to make. You know, the carnal Christian, the one living by his flesh, has the exact same scale, weighs everything out the exact same way, and finds what is best based upon what they know. But the spiritual man kicks the scale over, looks around and says, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And doesn't care what the scale says. Isn't that every Old Testament example that you have? Isn't that the Apostle Paul? Isn't that what we find over and over again in Scripture? It is not the wisest decisions that people make that gets them the victory. It seems to be some of the worst choices that we would come up with that gets them victories because they just did what God said. Say, like who? Well, I mean, if you were, you're right near Romans 15. Look back at chapter 15 in Romans. I keep referencing all these Old Testament things, and I'm about to do it again. Verse number 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. That'd be a good start. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ, by the way, that said to, for his good. That doesn't mean you just do whatever it is they want to make them happy. You do things that'll be beneficial to them, not detrimental to them. Well, I want to, okay, you don't have to help them do all of it. Well, I want to go, can you go buy me a pack of smokes? No. I had somebody ask me that. Hey, you're going to the store. You're going down to the gas station. I was working at Tessie or I was working somewhere, and just a regular job. Hey, you're going down to the store. Hey, you want to just grab me a pack of smokes? And I said, no. But it'd make them happy. Yeah, but there's certain things that you don't do. Why? Because they're not good to the use of edification. Anyways, I had to slide that in just in case. For Christ, verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Say, what is that? If we believe what the Scriptures say, we have hope. We have an honest, reasonable expectation. That's hope. Hope is not wishing and just out in the abyss of weirdness, we're going to get whatever it is that we, I'm hoping that I get $2.3 billion this week. Well, I'm hoping. No, you're not. You're dreaming. Right? We have an honest and earnest expectation that is reasonable. It's a reasonable expectation of what God does. You say, based upon what? Based upon history. the things that were written aforetime. Right? We don't go, well, God can just drop $1 million from heaven. Of course he can. But prior history does not dictate that's how he does things. We understand how he does things so we can have an earnest expectation of what he could do. And so as you look at things, you find in Hebrews chapter 11, we won't read all of it, Hebrews chapter 11, you have, right, the Hall of Faith, one of the greatest chapters on faith. And if you want to see a showing of faith in the Bible, read Hebrews chapter 11. That's what you get. It is a book, just a constant list of men and women who put their faith in God, and God came through and did what he does. So you look at the life of Abel, and you find out that he worships God. Enoch walked with God. Noah worked for God. Abraham went out because of God's command. Sarah's womb was opened because she believed. Abraham weathered the trial of sacrificing his own son. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph well-wished all the others after them and prophesied of their futures. Moses walked away from all the pleasures and the life that he could have had in Egypt. Israel went through the Red Sea by faith and walked around the walls of Jericho so it would fall down. Rahab cared about the welfare of all the spies and sent the two spies back out of the city, caring, knowing that they needed to get out safely and protected her home because of it. You can continue the list. You can keep looking, and you can, time would fail me to tell of Jephthah and of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, right? All those guys. Time would fail to tell of all of them, but they all did some amazing things, and all of it is listed as work of faith. Trusting what God said and watching what he does because you trusted him. You can trust God. Say, why? Because he's never failed anybody. Amen. Oh, well, he failed me over here. You see, the problem with that statement is this. Abraham is one of the greatest pictures of faith. And I've said this here before. One of my favorite things about Abraham's faith is this. Every time you think Abraham's getting the short end of the stick from God, and he's just not getting what he should get, Abraham's looking around and he's looking for a country which and a city which hath found it, you know, and he's looking around and he goes, well, I'm not getting my country here, so he must be right. So God must be right, so he's got to give me a heavenly country. Amen. And a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It must be one of those. Oh, well, he asked me to sacrifice my son, so I guess you know what I'll have to do. God's just going to have to be faithful enough to raise him from the dead. Say, what's Abraham doing? He's just always figuring out how God did it right. God, how can you still be right with what you already told me? How can I do this when it seems contrary to what you've already told me would happen? How can I have this? Well, God's got to be right, so how can I make God look right? The life of faith always knows God's right. Amen. Your carnal life, you know what it does? It makes you think God's not good enough. And he hadn't been good enough to you. And it must be that God just didn't do it the way he should have done it. That is not a life of faith. A life of faith looks around and says, hey, you know what I want? I want God to be right. So it may not look good, so maybe I just didn't do what I was supposed to do. Or maybe I'm just waiting for a time when God's going to come through later. Or maybe, and you just try and start thinking about how can God be right still? The trouble is, you and I often look around and decide, I need to be right. How can I be right? How can I be justified with what I've done? How can I still be okay and make God look bad? You know, I would never say that. No, but that's how you act. That's how we act. Well, God's always good and God's always right and we don't always understand him, and God's just amazing, and we know it. But inside you're going, yeah, but he did me wrong right there. Because you still don't trust that he's got your best interests every time. He pleased not himself, and your reproaches went to him. He's always got your best interests. Look over at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. There is plenty of showings of the faith that you and I should have and exercise daily. There's plenty of ways that you and I can exercise that faith and show God we trust him. And over, you get the pages and you get to turn in and you get to look in and you find different men and different women who have been willing to trust God with everything. And when they are unwilling to trust God, that's when God does not get to help them. The more faith and the more confidence you have in God, by the way, the more glory God gets from you. Amen. You want God to get all the glory? You want Him to get all the praise? Well, you know what the best way to do it is? Just keep trusting Him. That glorifies Him every time. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 11. Oh, back up a little bit. Man, it's hard to jump in the middle on this. I was trying to save us. But verse number 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. There he is. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So he's starting talking about salvation, but he's bridging it over. The just shall live by faith. The life of faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And that concept he's bringing through is him talking and he's saying, hey, the law is not faith. You grab the Ten Commandments, they're posted out in the hallway. You get the Ten Commandments, you put them all in order, you do what you're supposed to do, it's still not of faith. It's not faith. It's done based upon what you have seen and know, and you've got it written, and you're just going to do, and if I do these things. It's all doing. It's not believing and trusting Him. It's following a set of rules. That is why the Christian life is not a set of rules. I could stand up here and go, well, you know, if you're a real Christian, you do these things and you don't do these things. And if you do these things, you're a good one. And if you don't do these things, you're a good one. But if you do the opposite, you're just terrible. That's not how the Christian life works. We have the wonder of a Bible and God speaks to me and He changes things in my life because He deals with an individual. He has something for me that He might not have for you. He has something for you that might not be for me. Now, there's some things we all agree, right? We should all read our Bible and pray. All right? Amen. That's basic 101. If that's all you do, Lord willing, you're growing past that and you've got more to give. All right? But we all have that. Oh, you ought to be in church and you ought to be a witness and you ought to... Yeah. All right? I get it. But some of you... You eat some things that other people in the room wouldn't eat because God told you not to, right? Somebody says, oh, boy, you eat that. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Do whatever it is you do. I'm going to be honest. I don't care. I don't care. Say, oh, all right. Some of you drink some things that other people wouldn't drink. Now, some of that's bad. Don't get me, you know what I mean. All right? Some people, they're like, man, I only drink water. Okay. Great. Other people are like, I'm drinking my lemonade and my sweet tea. Amen? James. Right? I'm going to have this. And some people go, well, I can't have caffeine anymore, dietary things, so I don't have coffee and I don't have sodas and I don't have any, and I got to cut all that stuff. Right? There's certain things that you and I, we can do or we can't do. What does it matter? It doesn't, outside of you better know what God told you to do. Right? That's how we base our standard upon what we do. So that's why Job makes the statement that I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I want to know what God says, and what he says I will do above eating. That's a good policy to have. Jesus Christ, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. We better know what God said about what we do. He says in Peter that he gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How we live and how we worship are all found within the pages of a Bible. So then the question is, do you believe what God said about doing those things? You either live by faith or you don't. This isn't a, well, I kind of live by faith. It's either a yes or a no. I'm living by faith today. Okay, good. Good day. Right? We all have good days and bad days. Amen. But the idea for the Christian life, the optimum, the standard, is that everything that I do and everything I don't do is based upon what I believe God told me to do. Amen. How I'm supposed to live. Some of you go, you know, it's the weirdest thing. We were down in Pensacola. I had a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, actually the Walls' son. We needed to get lunch. He was going to Pensacola Christian College at the time. I was going to PBI at the time, and we wanted to grab lunch. And I said, Applebee's is right around the corner. Let's just go over there. It's right there. And he goes, I can't go there. I said, what do you mean you can't go there? He goes, because Applebee's is a bar and grill. And I said, okay, so it can't have a bar in the building. He goes, no, no, no. We can go down just a couple more over to O'Charlie's. And I said, what? He goes, yeah, we can go to O'Charlie's and get a burger because that's a grill and bar. Now, if you hear the name Applebee's, and Christian is going to Applebee's, you know what I'm thinking. We're getting some appetizers, amen, and we're having some boneless wings at Applebee's, and we're right? That's what we're doing. If you hear, I'm going over to O'Charlie's. What, are you grabbing a beer at the pub? What are you doing? Right? That's what we think. And I'm thinking, how is O'Charlie's okay and Applebee's is off the list, right? These are dumb standards that people go ahead and put things. Well, it's a grill and bar, so it must be better. You walk in and it's mostly bar and virtually no grill, and you're trying to figure out where is a good place to sit so that I am not associated with the people at the bar, amen? Right? You're trying to figure this stuff out. Why? Because you go, I don't want that. The do's and the don'ts list will get you into trouble, guaranteed. Every time. So what do? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You get to a decision and you go, Lord, what are you telling me to do? This coming week we'll do faith promise. I told you I was using that as the example today, a little bit of this idea. And what am I going to give? Well, I could go ahead and just check a box. Well, I mean, it seems great. I mean, I guess I could probably do that. Okay, or maybe you could stop and go, Lord, what should I do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Yeah. Well, you know, I got to go make sure I balance all my checkbooks and make sure everything's good and figure everything out down to the penny. And what can I afford? The Lord didn't ask you what you could afford. Yep. I'm just being honest. He doesn't always ask what you can afford. Sometimes a step of faith is something you think you can't afford. Sometimes it's absolutely exactly what you can afford. And you go, Lord, I don't know. Am I supposed to give more than that? And he says, yes. Well, then you got to trust him. And sometimes he says, no, that's perfect. And sometimes he may even tell you, no, you're going to have a problem down the road that I know about that you don't know about. Maybe you need to bump that just a little bit down and we'll be fine. You say, did the preacher just tell me to give less? No, I told you what God tells you to do. That's what you should do. I can't tell you what God wants you to do. I can't shine a light down from heaven and go, oh, yep, Brother Wall, you've got to give $1,000 a week to mission. Do it. Let's do it. I trust that God will provide for you to give that. Right? I can't do that. No. Just checking. I can't ask that. That's not how this works, right? It's a personal walk of faith. Either you're walking by faith and you know what he wants, or you don't. well, should I see this movie? Should I go this place? Should I buy this? We do this with major decisions, right? We're like, if I'm going to buy a house, I better make sure God's in it. Why is it not every decision you make, God should be in it? Isn't that how it works? The life of faith is walking with Him. He says that we're supposed to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. I got to hurry up. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. We are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. That means when you look at the numbers on the page for Faith Promise, it may not be the number He wants. He may have something in mind that you have no clue. Could you imagine God goes, hey, I want you to give this, and you go, well, I'm going to bump that down, you know, because I don't really know that God could do it. And then later you get a windfall of something amazing. And you go, oh, I guess I could have. And you don't know. It's a question of just trusting Him. It's believing Him. It's not doing anything crazy. I'm not asking you to do anything crazy. I'm asking you to trust what God tells you. The sad truth is that a lot of Christians in this world, they don't know what God wants them to do because they're not used to asking Him. They're not used to finding out, God, what do you want me to do with this? Instead, they're used to pulling the scale out, weighing it out, figuring it out themselves. And the wisdom of men is foolishness with God. Look over at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Brother Larry's been smiling at me a lot this morning. Because this is a large section of Hope Level 2, week 9. Say, what do you learn in hope? Part of it is learning to walk by faith. Because ultimately, if you are going to go anywhere, if you are going to serve God, if you are going to live by faith, if you're going to serve Him by faith and trust Him and walk with Him and stand with Him and understand what He needs, that is the only way you'll have victory. We sing the hymn, faith is the victory. And where do we get that? We get that from 1 John chapter 5. How do I win? How do I defeat my sin? How do I live a good, godly, clean life in a wicked, vile, terrible world? How do I figure out what I'm supposed to do? And how am I supposed to gain the blessings of God? How can I have the power of God in my life? How can I live as a Christian? It's by faith. Right. It's believing what God has in a book that He gave you. Amen. It's believing that He gave you the book. Amen. That's a big part. Can God give me a book? Well, yeah. If He can't, He's kind of not that great anyways. And by the way, He doesn't live up to His promises if you don't have it. So you might as well walk away now if He can't do that. 1 John chapter 5. He says, verse number 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Say, what do I need? You need faith. How do I overcome? Well, you overcame your ultimate end, right, of sin and destruction and a lake of fire. You're not going to hell any longer because you trusted by faith in Jesus Christ and He saved you. Christian, how do I gain victory over the sin that I don't want in my life? How do I please God? How do I walk with God? How do I know? By faith. You get all your victories by trusting what God said about how to win. The children of Israel are one of the greatest examples of understanding that if you'd listen to God in every battle you face, you will always win. But when you don't, you will lose. You looked at it while I was gone. I was listening. I'm still a couple behind because we had some computer issues, so I didn't get to listen to the last few. But they're up. I just checked today. And so I'm excited. So I'm going to listen to the last few that I missed. But I already know you heard it at least twice, and I think you heard it a third time, and I haven't heard it a third time yet, because I think Brother Michael added it to the list. And the sin of Achan. Right? The children of Israel walk in, they march around Jericho, they do everything that they were told at the beginning of the battle. The walls of Jericho fall, they win their victory, they got it God's way, God's pleased, except Achan messes it up. Right? He takes the accursed thing, he buries it under his tent, and he's hiding it, and they go, well, we just beat down the people of Jericho. Ai's not that big. Let's go just crunch them with a few guys. Right? And they go over, and they get beat on, and they turn and run. And Joshua's falling down. God, I don't know what we did. I'm so sorry. And number one, you never talked to God before you went to battle again, Joshua. You just figured, let's go beat up on Ai. It's tiny. We don't need God for that. Christian, it's just a little thing. I don't need God to help me. I know what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, maybe you're missing something. Like missing the fact that Achan's got something buried. You heard about all this while I was gone. I don't have to do all of it. One of the greatest things, Christian, you want victories? Trust what he said. And don't miss a thing. I preached while I was gone. I mentioned Achan. Well, I was gone. I mentioned Saul while I was gone. I mentioned Balaam while I was gone. That's a message I preached here months ago. Incomplete obedience. I'll do most of what God told me to do and hope that I still get all the blessings that I want. It's not how it works. It's either I'm going to do it by faith or I'm not. God's looking for a life of faith, because ultimately, that faith will be the thing that protects you in this life. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm almost done. Finally. Just two more chapters to go, right? Finally. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul, right, he's given the armor. You know this spot. He's given the armor, and he says, hey, above all, the most important piece of armor that he tells them to have is the shield of faith. You've heard plenty of preaching on the armor. Pastor Legault's got a series on it. I've got a series on it. I think everybody's got a series on it. Right? And you've got the armor. And that shield of faith is the amazing protection that we have against all of the fiery darts that the enemy would give. You know, the superiority of that shield is based upon what you believe God will do. We talk about the battlefield and how our fight is ultimately the mental battle that we face, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, right? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, right? And we fight, everything we fight is in the mind at that particular moment. The devil's trying to gain access, to get you to doubt what God said, to get you not to believe that he could do it, to get you to fail in trusting and believing what God said. It's contrary to the knowledge of God. That book, that Bible you're reading. The devil wants you to doubt what God said. And what it will do is it will cost you. It won't cost God, it'll cost you. When you don't believe him. God's trying to protect you by giving you a Bible to tell you how you should live and how you should walk, how you should do things. Every practical thing you could possibly imagine is in the Bible. And if you would just look for it, you'd find it. And if we would read and we would look and we would pay attention when we read, won't get on that. We could start putting some of those things in place. And when we do, you know what you gain? You gain the safety that, well, God said it, so I can trust it. Amen. Well, yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, but God said it, so I guess I'll just do it that way. Why? It removes all the consequences from you. The wonder of trusting God and believing Him is that how everything else works after that is not your responsibility anymore. You're responsible for trusting God. God is responsible for the outcome after you trust Him.
Amen.
That's a lot of pressure off. I don't know what to do. I'm going to try something. We try it. It crumbles around us and fails. And then we're, oh, well, now what do I do? And finally we get to God and we're like, God, could you fix this? You know? Crumble it up, make it into a messed up ball, and you hand him the piece of paper back. Hey, can you fix this? He's over there trying to flatten it back out, make it anything you could use ever again. And since he's God, he's got a nice iron to clean all that out. But why does he always have to work so hard to fix your failures? Because you choose not to trust him. It's a whole lot easier if we trust Him the first time.
Amen.
It's a whole lot easier if we quit making the mess and leaving God to clean it up.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot better if we would just do it His way the first time. But many times we don't even ask. We don't even check in. In all thy ways, acknowledge. We give Him zero acknowledgement. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Did you acknowledge Him? Did you ask? Did you check in? Did you even bother to talk to Him about it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. See, we don't trust Him, so we don't acknowledge Him, so we don't gain His blessings. His truth is the shield we have. That faith and trust in what God says brings our securities. Well, how do you know that decision's a good one? Well, God told me. I got this verse right here, and I got this passage over here, and I understand. You know, we're celebrating and having a good time, I hope, today. And for all conventional purposes, there's a good chance I wasn't going to be here. Many of you know, Lord called. I thought I may be leaving. Over 12 years ago now, almost 13 years. I could have gone and I could have left and I'd have been over in Buffalo and I'd been working at a church over there and helping out over there and doing all, you realize that I could have done that. But the Lord said, hey, hang on. Hang on. The life of faith is sometimes you don't know all of it. That's why it's faith. And you look to Him and you trust what He does. Blessed beyond measure by what He does, if you're willing to follow Him. I cannot imagine. I can't even imagine what would be. I don't know. And I'm glad I don't know. The life of faith is trusting, hey, God, what are you telling me to do? And you start walking. And it's a willingness to say, I can still be wrong. I can still just be a little bit off and let Him adjust my course. I tell people this a lot, and I do it in counseling. I talk a lot about this in counseling with people. You need to start in the direction you believe God wants you to go. You need to start moving. You're not going to stay in one spot, figure out all the answers, and then take your first step. It's not how the Christian life works. Well, what if I start going the wrong direction? Be willing to change direction. You're going to take that first step of faith and go, God, I really think you want me to go this way. And you take that first step and he goes, actually, could you just about, 7 degrees left, just a little, you're close. Let's just be movable. And take the next step. And if he needs to course correct, let him course correct. But if we're not moving, God's got a hard time steering you. He's got a hard time steering things that aren't moving. He's expecting you to have a walk of faith. Well, how do I know I can trust him? Because everybody else can trust him. You got a whole book of people who know how to trust God. And every time they did, he was great. Never failed, never came up short, never missed a mark. And every time they didn't, it was a failure on their part, not on his. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Is that your prayer today? God, just could you increase my faith? That doesn't mean it increases all the numbers. That doesn't mean, right? But Lord, could you increase my faith? Could you help me to trust you more day in and day out? Could you help me to have a consistent walk of faith where I'm actually looking at you and acknowledging you and paying attention to what you... And I'm in that book and I'm trying to figure out what you want. And when I have a question about what I should do, I ask you instead of going to all my peers, to all the best of the best that I know, all the smartest and brightest. Couldn't I just ask you, can I please just increase my faith? Help me to trust you. Because I don't know what to do. And if you'd be honest, you'd say, I don't know what to do sometimes. I just don't know what to do. I wish I knew what to do every time. God knows what to do every time. He knows the right thing. It's only a question of would you trust what he tells you. And when you take that step forward, you go, well, I might be wrong. You might be. But if you'd be willing to trust him, you know what he likes to do? Help you see where you're wrong. He doesn't beat you over the head for trying to trust him. He just doesn't. There's not one spot you can find where someone steps out on faith and God leaves them hanging because they did the wrong step. Instead, he goes, actually, let's move that over a little. Let's fix it. Let's keep moving, but let's keep fixing. Why? Because we're not perfect. We miss it just a little bit. But boy, if you'd be willing to step out on faith, man, he likes to hold us up. Let's go ahead and stand this morning. Maybe you'd be willing to come this morning. Maybe you're lost in here. You don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you'd be willing to come and say, hey, I don't know anything about what you were talking about today. We'd love to open a Bible, answer your questions, show you from the Bible how Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, he rose again the third day and has victory over all of sin, death, and the grave, give you eternal life if you'd call upon him. We can show you that out of the Bible. Maybe you're in here, you're saved, getting ready for the missions conference. Maybe you'd like to come for that. Maybe you'd like to come because there's some things in your life where you say, God, I haven't been trusting you the way I need to trust you. Lord, I've been going on my own wisdom, on my own carnal mind, on my own thoughts, my own abilities, my own passions, my own thought on the whole subject. I'm going in my wisdom, and I am not trusting in your wisdom. Maybe you need to just come and say, God, please help me to trust. Lord, maybe you just need to say, God, I know I haven't arrived. Could you increase my faith one more time? Could you just help me one more time to trust you just a little bit further? Just another step of faith. Just another walk. Just another moment. Father, I do pray you would bless the invitation. Work in people's hearts. Father, I thank you for those that have come. I pray you'd bless. Answer them. Help them. Encourage us. Lord, I thank you that you want to lead and guide us. Help us to have Christians who are filled with the Holy Ghost of God and living by faith and walking with their Savior. Lord, I pray that today would be a great day. We'd call upon you. We'd see your hand work. I pray if someone here does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd trust you today in Jesus' name. Amen.